you don't want this.
Hola a todos de nuevo. Yo creo que ha llegado el momento que todos estábamos esperando hoy. Por favor, ayudarme a dar la bienvenida con un fuertísimo aplauso al CEO de Microsoft, Satya Nadella.
Thanks a lot. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. It's fantastic to be in Spain and in Madrid. And to have a chance to spend some time with you all in a .NET conference. It's been something that I've done growing up at Microsoft many, many times, and so it's fantastic to be here to talk to all of you as developers. I mean, one of the things that strikes me as I travel around the world is the tremendous opportunity as well as the tremendous responsibility that I think we all are blessed to have as developers. There is not a walk of life, there isn't a part of our economy that is not being fundamentally changed by digital technology. And so that means the opportunity is endless for everyone in this room. But I also think that comes with that opportunity a sense of responsibility. How does a country like Spain get back to tremendous growth? How can companies be born here, or companies that are already here thrive because of its software capability? I think that's really the opportunity, and I just want to at least share with you our thoughts around that. For us at Microsoft, everything starts from our sense of purpose and our mission. These clearly are not just words in a PowerPoint slide for us. They really are the living, breathing soul of our company, empowering every person and organization on the planet to achieve more speaks to the core essence of what it is that we want to get done. It's the core of what impact we want to have. There are many key parts to it. For example, we think about both individuals as well as organizations as first class in all of what we do. You know, you can take even something like Visual Studio or TFS. The fact that it's about the individual programmer and their productivity, but it's also about the team, because institutions don't get built, companies don't get built by one person. So thinking about organizations is something that we also obsess about. It's also about having impact worldwide. We operate in 192 countries. To me, when I sort of went to Kenya to launch Windows 10, it was to remind myself, as much as anything else, about the impact of our products all over the world, and to be in touch with it in a real sense. But perhaps the last part is the most telling of what it is that we exist for, which is to celebrate the achievement of our partners, our customers, our developers. It's not about really, at the end of the day, our product or service. It is about the greatness that you all achieve in the apps that you build, the services that you build, the companies that you build. I always like to say it could be a student writing a term paper or a developer writing an application. That is what we want to celebrate. And this sense of purpose is what drives us going forward. We've been in existence for a little over 40 years now. And of course, going forward, the world that we live in, I describe as this mobile-first, cloud-first world. And I have a very clear point of view. When I say mobile-first, it's not about the mobility of any single device. Because one thing that's going to be most secular in terms of what's going to happen in the next 5 years or 10 years is we're going to have more computing in our lives. There's going to be things we'll wear on our wrist, in our eyes, in our ears, and sensors in the rooms, the big screen, small screen. So there's going to be ubiquitous computing and also ambient intelligence that's getting orchestrated by the cloud. That's the world of mobile and cloud that really is about the computing environment that we all are trying to build for. And in that context, we have three very bold ambitions of what it is that we as Microsoft want to enable and create developer opportunity. We are building all of these as platforms that have tremendous opportunity for developers. The first one is to do with reinvention of productivity and business process. Because one of the things that is fascinating to me is in all the abundance of technology, what is increasingly becoming scarce is human attention and time. And the idea of getting back that time so that you can get more out of every moment of your life, whether you are as a developer or as an information worker or a factory floor worker, because digital content is all over, that to us is what we mean by reinvention of productivity and business process. For example, work is no longer the place you go to. Work is about being able to make things happen wherever you are. So this notion of building mobile experiences that go with you to any device to be able to really give you the insights of the work that you need to get done, that's a very core part of what we're trying to do with things like Office 365 and Dynamics and all the productivity and business process tools. Second thing is, again, that organizational context to work. When work gets done, whether it's a development team or it's a team in marketing or in sales, people are collaborating. It's not about building tools and bolting on collaboration, but to take the very essence of how humans communicate and to add tools for work in that. In fact, we like to even talk about conversations, be it in Outlook, be it in Skype, becoming platforms for how work gets done. So the idea of manifesting the tools of productivity as well as business process within the context of these scaffoldings of communication is another trend that we see really coming through in a lot of the applications and platforms we're building. And lastly, it's about bringing artificial intelligence to the data that drives your work. So when people say we are moving to the cloud and to Office 365, it's not about moving from an Exchange server or a SharePoint server and just outsourcing it. It's a very different way to work. For example, now we can introspect, reason over all of your data at a tenant level with privacy and introduce features like clutter in Exchange, so that you can stay focused on the mails that are most important. Very critical, especially when you're on the phone. The idea that you want to be able to take care of only those mails that really need your attention. You can machine learn your way into that. The product that I love using on a daily basis to discover information is something called Delve, where you can essentially go type by person or by topic and really find out as work is happening inside of the organization, visualize it. It's completely changed how information gets discovered and, you know, transparently exposed throughout the organization. Power BI is another tool that I use on a daily basis to stay in touch with the leading indicators of success, to know what kind of usage is there on TFS or on Office 365 or on Azure, because leading indicators of success is really the essence of how you run large organizations. Even Cortana. Cortana to us as an intelligent agent is about being able to know everything about you so that you can be focused on things that matter the most to you. So these are tools of bringing intelligence into what is essentially productivity and business process work. Now, one of the organizations I got to know even in Spain is Barabas. They're a small organization rapidly scaling. And this is a boutique consulting firm that, in fact, specializes in change management. and their ability to work with the largest of Spanish banks and other retail organizations and take them through their own process of how they can change their habits. In fact, when I was talking to them, they described their mission as introducing and cultivating these new habits that ultimately change the nature of work. And they themselves are geographically distributed, have consulting projects going on in different parts of the world. And so I just wanted to roll this video to show you how they're using Office 365 themselves, but also how they're reshaping how work gets done.
La experiencia que hemos tenido no ha podido ser más positiva. El entorno de nuestra compañía es verdaderamente complejo. Y es verdad que desde que hemos unificado a Office 365, por un lado hemos aumentado la productividad y además nos hemos convertido en una compañía más ágil.
Nos ha permitido básicamente crecer. Es un producto totalmente escalable que nos permite alcanzar un gran número de usuarios y todo lo que se nos ha pedido hacer se puede hacer.
Yo en mi trabajo estoy en constante comunicación con muchos países. Para mí Office es fundamental porque me permite crear espacios de trabajo. También facilita mucho el tener Skype instalado en el ordenador.
Que aunque tengamos a Brian en China, hablemos con Asia en Londres y yo que estoy aquí en San Francisco, pues podemos trabajar todos juntos gracias al Office en el mismo documento, editar todos a la vez.
Tenemos clientes en 14 usos horarios diferentes y requieren que estemos disponibles y que nosotros podamos acceder a la información en cualquier momento, desde cualquier dispositivo y en cualquier lugar.
Quizá los mayores descubrimientos están viniendo por la productividad a nivel equipo. Necesitamos una flexibilidad acorde a la flexibilidad que nos demandan los clientes, ¿no?
Ahora Office es más seguro y la información de mis proyectos permanece en un entorno controlado y tengo el conocimiento de todos los usuarios con los que he compartido esa información. Asegurar que la propiedad intelectual permanece en un entorno protegido y además que cumple con la normativa vigente es crítico para cualquier negocio.
Y por otro lado, pues la protección para no perder información por parte de un mal uso de los ficheros compartidos.
Office se adapta muy bien a las demandas de los equipos creativos y los equipos de diseño. Funciona muy bien en dispositivos y en entornos con los que los diseñadores están más acostumbrados a trabajar. Y por otro lado, responde muy bien a los niveles de exigencia.
El entorno cada vez es más complejo de relaciones dentro de la compañía y también de relación con el cliente, ¿no? Y gracias a 365 hemos conseguido reducir ese gap al máximo.
Un poco el feeling que podría resumir es que enseguida encuentras la forma de que te dé soporte. Trabaja para ti.
Al final, este tipo de herramientas lo que te permite es que no haya barreras y no haya distancias, y eso para nuestro trabajo es muy positivo.
So that was just an example of an organization that's using some of these cutting-edge communication and collaboration technology to change not only how they work, but also, in fact, help other companies change the nature of work. But from a developer perspective, one of the things that's most exciting to me is the opportunity Office 365 creates. There are two sides to it. One is any app that you build, you should be able to build and have it discovered inside the UI scaffolding of Outlook or Skype or Word or Excel. So in some sense, the usage, the 1+ billion, we have 1.2 billion users of Office, and we want to open up. In fact, we have now around 300+ million downloads of Office clients on Android, iOS, and Windows phones. We have something like 850 million meetings that are scheduled each month inside of Office 365. But I want you to think about all of the UI surface area that you can get to add your value so that people can discover your applications. And not just the UI layer. In fact, you can write these UI layers in the most modern way. So you can write it in HTML and JavaScript and then plug it in to any of these areas that I talked about. But also the ability to both consume and add to what we call the Microsoft Graph. Because what we're doing with this move to the cloud is exposing all of the data model, the rich schema, beneath Office as a data source to you. So that means people, their calendars, their documents, their organization is all available to you as a set of REST APIs in a graph structure that you can use as part of your applications. In fact, you can append to this graph any data of your applications. So the idea of having this graph power a lot of the application richness, I think, is a very powerful concept that I would encourage all the developers to really take advantage of as you build these new classes of applications. So the next thing I want to talk about is what we're trying to do with our cloud platform or Azure. You know, we're really building out between Azure and Azure Stack a very complete new distributed computing fabric. In fact, our vision is not that all of distributed computing is just going to get locked up in a few data centers we run. In fact, we run over 1 million machines in 20-plus data centers with 130 points of presence. And so it's a huge distributed computing fabric. The way compute, storage, and network come together at that scale is very different. In fact, a lot of people ask me, how did the hypervisor really get much better and more competitive? And the reason why, there's not that many people who run 1 million machines on a hypervisor and then, in fact, make that hypervisor available as part of Azure Stack. So really reshaping the core infrastructure is one part. But the thing that I'm most excited about, and especially thinking of it from a developer perspective, is the platform for being able to do big data and AI. Everything from all of the different types of storage that basically you can store, but more importantly, how you can process that data. It can be streams processing. It can be SQL. It can be machine learning. All of that capability and the richness of the data platform so that you can build intelligence into your applications. I like to think about there's not going to be a single search box that won't have autofill. There will never be a form that's not going to have a recommendation list. And the way you're going to be able to add that intelligence is to really take advantage of statistical machine learning, which is changing the very nature of applications. And there are many examples of startups and very established ISVs already using Azure and its various capabilities, and I had a chance to meet some of them. Aura Portal, in fact, I used to work many, many years ago on BizStock, and now to see an entire category of business process management where business analysts can essentially draw the business process and have it executed. So they're, in fact, a leading vendor in this, and Gartner recognizes them as a visionary. They're working all over the world. So it's fantastic to see a Spanish company that's fundamentally a leader in a new category called business process management. Codis Software, I had a chance to meet one of the founders there, and they're a distributed version control. I mean, something that is near and dear to all our hearts. So he's so focused on developer productivity and especially game developer productivity with large binaries. And you can imagine how doing the merges so that you can do the builds fast and driving developer productivity is a key, key thing. And so they are doing a fantastic job of building this out. Encamina is another company that I had a chance to meet, and one of the fascinating things that they're trying to do is bring together these multiple trends of IoT, cloud, and natural interfaces so that they can shape and reshape a modern factory. As part of in Europe, a lot of talk about Industry 4.0, because this economy on the European continent is going to be fundamentally changed because of Industry 4.0. But in order for that to happen, digital content or digital software has to really reshape these factories. And so this company is trying to figure out how to bring these variety of technologies so that you can really change and make factories more intelligent. And it's fantastic to see this kind of innovation coming out of Spain. And obviously, all of these companies are also not just thinking about Spain, but also thinking about Europe and the rest of the world. And that, to me, is really the ambition level that I know all of you have. And our opportunity and our job is to make sure that we create platforms for you, stores where your applications are discovered worldwide. The next thing that I want to talk a little bit about is the approach we are taking to make sure that Azure meets you where you are. When it comes to developers, the one thing that I've learned all through my years of working with developers is to make sure that we are meeting you with the frameworks that you use, the languages that you use, Right now, 25% of Azure is running Linux. So it's not even about just Windows and .NET. So it is about being able to really have any container or any guest operating system, any framework, even the tools. So it's not just about having PowerShell, but you can use Chef and Puppet to do DevOps on Azure. So the flexibility that Azure provides so that you can bring your tools, your code assets, and to really rapidly build out the applications is a very core part of our strategy. And having said that, though, there is no better time than now to be a .NET developer. In fact, I was reading some stats that I believe in Spain, the job placement rate for .NET skills increased by 95% in the last year. And that's fantastic to see. And we are going to increasingly go focus on that. We want to make .NET skills the best set of skills that you can have on your resume. In fact, I think even tomorrow you will see a set of announcements that are, I think, going to really be mind-blowing in terms of what they mean for the future of mobile development. So if you look at what's happening with .NET, one, with the universal applications on Windows, so that means you now can reuse all of your .NET skills and your C# skills to write universal apps for the Xbox, for the HoloLens, for Windows phones, and Windows PCs and notebooks. So the opportunity of using that same framework, the same set of languages, and the same tools on the client side across all of Windows is expanded. But not just that. We don't stop there. And in partnership with Xamarin, you can also take all of your .NET skills and apply them to really have a shared logic layer, even for your iOS and your Android applications. So a .NET developer, in fact, is the most skilled developer because they can build for all platforms on the client, Windows plus iOS plus Android. Then when you think about the cloud side, both the work that's happening in .NET Core as well as ASP.NET really give you the best set of frameworks to build your applications. The work we're doing on .NET Core, first of all, the fact that it's open source, that means you all can participate. It's being done on the open, so you get to see it, and you get to see the progress being made. And one of the fascinating things that I've learned even recently is the performance of .NET Core for microservices. Because one of the most biggest trends in writing backends today is to be able to decompose your backend into a set of microservices and run a lot of these microservices in an isolated way. And the kind of throughput, the transactional throughput that .NET Core now has, it's around 6x or so of what Node.js performs at. So it's fantastic to see the progress. But it's really also great that you can take your skills and build these highly cloud-scale applications and adopt new architectural patterns like microservices. And, of course, it's not just about the framework. It's about even the tool chain. We are modernizing Visual Studio itself. We now have code editors with Visual Studio Code for Linux as well as your Macs. And so the idea that we have Visual Studio as a development environment everywhere, plus TFS as a developer service for your DevOps, really gives you the best world-class tools, world-class frameworks to drive the next level of productivity and also opportunity for every one of your writing applications, both on the client as well as on the cloud. The last thing I want to talk about is what's happening with Windows. When we talk about Windows as a service, the idea that we will build this one consistent experience across all the devices, from Internet of Things to HoloLens, you have one developer model, one store, and in fact, one control plane even for IT. And that's, I think, the beauty of Windows. And you'll increasingly see it. I mean, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, you wouldn't have even heard of this notion of a two-in-one. And I was at Mobile World Congress yesterday, and it was fascinating to see that at Mobile World Congress, I saw mostly everything other than phones. Because there was so many new two-in-ones. There was a lot of VR. In fact, think about what's going to happen with virtual reality. Both Oculus as well as Valve are going to be tethered to a PC, because that's where the app actually runs. So VR, and of course with our, what we're doing with HoloLens, we're building out AR. So it's a fantastic time to see these new platforms being birthed, new forms of computers and new forms of computing being birthed, while having the consistency, the ability to reuse code for developers. And so we see lots and lots of different developers who are taking advantage of it. StaffPad, really writing, reshaping how people compose music, or how Zara is building applications for this variety of different platforms. So the idea that we can have the universal application, I think, is going to be one of the most profound changes in how people think about client-side development. But perhaps more than anything, what I'm enthralled by is birth of this new type of medium. In fact, our entire industry is being punctuated by birth of new computers. It's those changes in input and output that have heralded new ways of how people have consumed technology. Up to now, throughout our computing history, we have mostly created digital metaphors of what we see in the physical world. We have created these mirror worlds. Like desktop is a great example of that. So what you saw on a desk is what we really created, a digital artifact out of it, and created the entire PC revolution. But now we're at that threshold of real change. For the first time, you are going to be able to, in the analog world, superimpose digital artifacts. This is what we call mixed reality or augmented reality. And we're all going to learn what it means. This new medium is going to teach us. In fact, you as developers are going to teach the world how we will make sense of this new medium. It could be Cleveland Clinic. That's completely reshaping how medicine is thought. It can be AutoCAD or CATIA, reshaping how industrial design gets done. It can be an architectural software where how people imagine and build buildings is going to get reshaped. And of course, games. When I play Minecraft on HoloLens, it's such a different experience than even the Minecraft that I've used to playing in VR or playing it on the PC. So I think it's really one of those great times to be a developer, is to take advantage of a new medium. But it's just not the continuation of a virtual space or a digital metaphor that tries to mimic the analog world, but the creation of a completely mixed reality. Let's roll the video.
Look around. Technology is all around us. We use it in every aspect of our lives. It enables us to do amazing things. But what if we could go further? What if we could go beyond the screen? Where your digital world is blended with your real world. Now we can. This is the world with holograms. What will they enable us to do? New ways to visualize our work.
Now I have an idea for the fuel tank.
New ways to share ideas with each other.
How are things going your end?
I just put the images in OneDrive.
Perfect.
More immersive ways to play. New ways to teach and learn.
So put the new trap in the place of the old one.
Now what?
And tighten here and here.
New ways to collaborate and explore the places we've never been.
Look at this formation. Let's take a closer look.
And new ways to create the things we imagine. when you change the way you see the world, you can change the world you see. This is Microsoft HoloLens.
And when I sort of listen to that phrase of when you change the way you see the world, you change the world you see, I think captures, in a sense, what all of you as developers are really set out to do. Because you have that innate capability and that unlimited passion to reshape the world. And our goal and our hope is that we can play a small part in that journey of yours by providing you the tools and the platforms and the opportunity so that you not only can see the world differently, but more importantly, you can change the world you see. Thank you so very, very much. It's a real pleasure to be here. Thank you.
We are beginning a journey, and at this moment, we are bound by nothing. Technology empowers us to achieve more. It pushes us to go further.
To keep track of almost 5 million athletes in 170 countries, you need a lot of data. Up till now, we've been tracking a lot of that data manually. The Microsoft Cloud allows us to immediately be able to access information wherever we are. Information for an athlete's medical care, or information to track their personal best. Special Olympics is really about celebrating differences, to create a world where we can accept and appreciate the gifts that we all bring to our communities.
Technology is the tool to make an impact. It is the tool to make a difference.
At Microsoft Cloud, we save millions of man hours.
And that's time we can invest in our athletes, our work, and changing the world.